T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Gresh and Fourier.
It's that time.
Gresh and Fourier right now on WEEI.
Could we pack more into a tad over 2 hours today from Detroit, where it is draft day? By God, we have been waiting for this. All of the talk, the subterfuge, well, there really hasn't been a lot of that. It's more of the marketplace confusion. And then you throw in some Bruins and Celtics, and by God, where do you want to start?
Some Bruins, some Celtics, and you throw in maybe, maybe like we kind of, you know, include the Red Sox, maybe not.
How about this?
I feel like
they won 8-0. Bayo's on the IL.
Okay, good. That's all
we'll
need to do.
We'll get back to it tomorrow.
Okay, the kids are holding it down. All right, so I'll tell you what. So Scott Pioli at 10:30.
Yep.
So that's probably, because listen, if you're a GM and you've gone through this, say you're a first-time GM, it's your first draft ever, I would assume you'd be pretty nervous. You'd have some anxiety, right? Because you're saying everything, you're making, doing all the interviews. You think you have all your ducks in a row. All the silos are gone, and now when that number 3 pick, you have 10 minutes to make the pick, and you have 10 minutes for somebody to make you an offer. Then you have probably less time to actually decide. So, let's wait for draft talk at 10:30, and we'll start with Scott. You pick a sport. You pick either dealer's choice. You want to go Bruins or you want to go Celtics?
I would say that.
Wait. Hold on.
What's that?
If you close your eyes and you listen and you pay attention, I think you can hear the Heat make another 3-pointer.
Here's Jovic. 3-pointer is in, and the theme
there
for the
is,
Heat.
There
continues.
It is. Another one. That would be what? Would that be the 24th one they made?
Yeah.
That would be the 24th one they made.
In staying in Boston sports tradition, I guess, let's start with the team that lost, and that would be the Celtics, who lose game 2 to the Heat, 111-101. And I came away because, I mean, we passed up a once-in-a-lifetime chance to see Jelly Donut or Jelly Roll.
Jelly Roll.
And because we wanted to watch playoff games. Well, here's what I came away with from the Celtics game last night. There were two things that really stood out. Number one, Miami hit shots at a rate from 3 that they really haven't all season. So from that end, I can quibble with the Celtics and say, hey, maybe you should have closed out a little bit better. I think the adjustments can be made from the Celtics defensive end, as much as Miami's not going to rip 23 three-pointers. That's not really their game. But conversely, the Celtics got away from their game. They found a way to have Tatum and Brown put up big numbers, yet it felt like it really turned into a lot of isolation basketball, which made it difficult for guys like Jrue Holiday and, more importantly, Porzingis. You got Porzingis to be the chip, to be the key, so that you can beat teams like Miami. He can't have the night that he had last night. So I think one offensive tweak, one defensive tweak combined with Miami coming back down to normal, I'm not freaked out.
Okay. Well, I think you just basically just – was it just as simple as, hey, is as simple as the Heat's game plan, we're just going to shoot more threes and take more attempts? And it really wasn't. I think it was 6 more attempts in game 2 than it was in game 1. Or was it merely the fact that they just made them? They shot over 53% from three-pointer from three-point land in game two and barely 34% in game one. Was it just the fact? It was almost like the Celtics said, we don't think you're going to make them.
Yeah.
You heard it during the time. Hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. Go. And then they got on rhythm. Then they're getting confidence. And then everybody was above their average. Or it really kind of felt like last year's series when guys were just doing things that they hadn't done all year.
Tyler Hero doesn't normally get you 14 assists. He's not that disciplined point guard. Franchise record in hitting threes last night.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I think if the Celtics close out more, those guys aren't going to be knocking them down.
See, that bugs me. Like, so 62% of their points came from three-pointers.
Right.
Why weren't they doing a better job of closing out?
Well, because I think Miami started to get into their offense a little bit. And to me, it was Miami making the extra pass. At times last night, in watching the Miami Heat play offense, I thought to myself, this is what the Celtics normally do. They move the ball, make the extra pass, get it to the open guy or whatever. You know, well, game one, like Hauser went off, right? One, because Sam Hauser's just beating people and shooting one-legged fadeaway three-pointers, is because they move the ball and they got him in position to be able to knock down those shots. And to me, that's what the Heat did last night. And you got to give Coach Spo credit, 10-3 now in game twos after a game one loss.
He's, you know, to your point.
But there's nothing left for him to play.
To your point. So I do feel like the Heat gave the Celtics a taste of their own medicine. So the Celtics, 12 of 32, 37.5%. Okay, 36 total points from three-pointers. The Heat, they took 43. They made 23 of them, 53.5. 69 total points. So they had 33 more three-pointer points than the Celtics. 33. I feel like that's an obviously issue. And if you just assume it's an outlier, I think you're falling into another trap. If you just assume that this is a one-and-done, hey, listen, you know what? Hey, they'll eventually miss. Because I felt like that's what they were hoping for. Third quarter comes around. Fourth quarter. Hey, listen, it was almost like Joe Mazzulla took my approach to gambling. They're due, but they're due to miss. So, and you can tell, listen, there's stats out there. Go find them. The difference between closing out close to closing out median to not closing out at all. There is some pressure on the shooter. But if you allow an average shooter some time to set his feet, take a good look at the basket, the dude's in the pros. He's probably going to hit it.
No, it's not, dude. That's not how any of this works.
Yeah, tell that to Joe Mazzulla, though. Tell that to Joe Mazzulla. And so, I mean, so the average, even for a bad shooter, is going to go up.
All right, let's hear Mazzulla after the game on the adjustments made when they started making threes.
When things like that are happening, it puts more pressure on your offense. Your offense has to be more efficient. Your offense has to be more effective. And you have to look at the other side of the adjustment. And so the Hero Adebayo pick and roll is dangerous in itself. And you start going to switching or you start, inching out to those guys and not having shifts. And then you're making that a two-on-two game with their two best players. And so the first adjustment was to try to become more efficient on the offensive end. And, we were able to do that in some stretches. It was, a 6 to 8 point game? And so it was a 2-3 possession game. So with the team shooting 55% from three and you shooting 37%, you getting more shots than them and getting outshot by 11 for it to be a two possession game for the majority of the fourth quarter, I think is, you're looking to just be more efficient on the offensive end. Once we got it down to like 8 to 10, then they went to the post ups or the out of bio shots, which those are the shots you would be giving up if you went to the switching or if you went to that. So, I think it just puts more pressure on your offense to be more efficient.
Hold on. I'm with him.
Wait.
I'm totally with him.
Can I dissect this real quick?
Yeah.
And let me know if I'm right or wrong. So his adjustment had nothing to do with some defensive adjustment. It was because I think he kind of stayed with they're going to eventually miss. They didn't. His adjustment was to shoot more and to shoot better. Like, it puts more pressure on the offense. So,
hey,
you guys, they're playing well, and they're making all their shots. You got to make your shots as well.
Yeah, they needed to be.
Ask backwards?
No, they needed to be more efficient offensively.
Yeah, that's my point. So make your shots. Stop missing them.
Well, but, I mean, closing out on Miami, I think it's a simple adjustment based on the people that they had out there, with Jox. And, listen, Hero played his ass off. So did Adebayo. But, you know, Caleb Martin went 5 of 6 from 3. Jovic's 3 of 4 from 3. Highsmith comes off the bench. Like, seriously, I'm going to sit here and be like, oh, my God. You know, Haywood Highsmith was the guy that really made the difference in the game. Good Lord, the 64 wins are going to go out the window. I think what Joe Mazzulla said is exactly right, because there were like 4 buckets offensively that like banged out. I think Drew Holiday had like 2 of them, and I think Porzingis had 2. To me, Christian, one of the bigger things offensively is they found a way to make Porzingis less efficient, and they negated him. And I think that if Joe Mazzulla doesn't re-say it, but if we dive deeper into it, it's the how in the hell did you find a way to get Kristaps Porzingis to go 1 of 9 from the field and only 6 points?
I also feel like there's this weird, like, hey, listen, they're giving you these mismatches because there was a lot of – it's almost like they were hunting the mismatches. It was almost like there was a
– oh, no, well, it was both. The Celtics went the Celtics went after Tyler Hero when they could on offense, and I think the pick-and-roll stuff really – you know, caused the Celtics some problems in the fourth quarter.
I tell you what, here's the thing with the Heat. You can't underestimate them.
Totally agree.
They live off that. They thrive off of it. And I was mocking it, and like, shame on me for just really assuming that because they're the 8th seed again.
All right.
And no.
Bro, if they win this series 4-1.
Did you just bro me?
I did.
You
but
broed me.
I did, but bro, if they win this series 4-1, Does it – it sounds like you think there's impending doom.
No.
Okay.
No,
there is this – that's why I broed you. Fine, I'll take it back. Orb.
There is this
– I said it backwards.
You know, I just thought that they were – here's my problem. I think that they were past this whole, like, hey, they're the Heat, they're the 8th seed. Hey, they don't worry. They're not a good three-pointer shoot. They're not a good three-pointing team. And sure as hell, they beat you at your own game, shooting a ton of threes and making them and beating you. So you can't trust them. You can't assume that they're just going to lay down. Like, it's just nothing about them says that. So if you assume you can't, like, I was just watching Drew Holiday, and then I'll drop it.
No, because
I was watching Drew Holiday
I
alone.
I feel like you're defensive. Now beating yourself up.
No, I'm not, because I feel like they are probably doing the same thing. How did we let this one get away? We didn't play good enough defense. Drew Holiday alone was not being Drew Holiday. He was not being the pest. He was not being – sometimes he would run to close out. He wouldn't even put his hand up. And like, well, you know, they're not going to make it. They did. How many times does he have to learn his lesson? That's all. So do I still think they're going to beat the Heat? But yes, I do. But holy crap. You let this home game slip through your fingers because they decided to go on a franchise NBA record-breaking spree of three-pointers. It's well, freaking amazing. Are you kidding me?
Look, they need to close out better, definitely. But, like, we just watched a highlight right here where Caleb Martin is in the corner and Tatum's got the hand in his face. Now, look at what the Heat are doing here as we watch it.
It's not even trying.
No, but you know what it is? They're passing the basketball around. Look at what happened last night. Tatum and Brown played great, but it turned into the one-on-one type stuff where they weren't passing it around. I think the adjustment's easy, but I would also say, first of all, look at Tyler Hero, by the way, after the game.
I love it.
Oh,
he looks
my
like,
God.
He looks like the, whatchamacallit, Better Off Fred or Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, no question.
Dead. Hey, put a hat and glasses on him so nobody knows that he's dead.
It's a pretty interesting look. He's a weird dude.
I love it.
I mean, the guy played his ass off last night. We know it's draft day. We've also got playoff games. You know what's really interesting is, so we've got our friends from Washington beside us. If we can figure it out, Brian Mitchell will join us. Their midday show, we'll talk with them a little bit to see if there's any chance Jaden Daniels slides by number 2, and it sure as hell doesn't seem to. We've got our friends in Chicago, and I jumped on with them yesterday a little bit. They were doing one of those mock draft deals, and I kind of made the joke that, yeah, it's draft night, but we also got playoff games to pay attention to, and that caught
that. That hurt. That stung a little bit?
A little bit. A little bit, but it really is the truth. Good morning to the Twitchers. You can watch us on Twitch. We are set up and ready to go. The light is blaring in on me in particular, so we do.
The Lord has taken.
That's what it is.
Taking a liking to you.
So before the Twitchers start complaining about, I don't have a shade there or something, it's like, okay, we're. Well, it's not a home game for us, so there is a little bit of light kind of booming in. You can also watch us on YouTube. Go to YouTube, type in WEEI. Live stream will pop up right there. Now let's get to the good. The Bruins win 4-2 last night, and really the third period was about Brad Marchand. The game gets tied at 2, and we heard the clip in the open there of Marshy turning around and grabbing control of the game right away, 3-2, and then I know there was the missed opportunity at the empty netter, and they showed Jim Montgomery where it was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe this actually happened. Marchie goes and scoops it up, ends up scoring 4-2. They come away with the win. I think there are two things here. One will be the goaltender, Jeremy Swayman.
Yep.
And one will be the comments from Toronto coach Sheldon Keefe. Well, this guy Sheldon Keefe is catching heat for doing the Belichick with William Nylander. It's the I have no updates. And now the people in Toronto, and even I think PK Subban might have gone on ESPN and was like, you know, yeah, you got to respect the people of Toronto and give them the information that they're looking for.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I'm not a carpenter, but I carry around a hammer.
There you
Wait,
go.
Who was that?
That was
PK
Subban.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, yeah. Well, last night, the hammer, you could argue, was Jeremy Swayman, who ended up playing great. And after the game, said, I'd like to stay in there. Your thoughts?
Yeah, here's my thoughts on this. I was going to find the actual quote, but that was
for me personally.
It.
Oh, here we
I
go.
I won't rest. I just want to keep playing. I think no matter when I get the call, whether, again, it's back-to-back or every other game, I want to make sure my body's ready and I'm ready to perform at my best.
You know what? If you read the quotes.
It's that time.
No, but if you read the quote and then you listen to that, that is not an ultimatum or a guy who's ticked off at all.
Okay, I'll read it for you. So you heard the sound. I think for me personally, I don't want rest. I just want to keep playing. No matter when I get the call, whether it's back-to-back or every other game, I want to make sure my body is ready and I'm ready to perform at my best. This guy, although Omar and Swayman are buddies and they've done an excellent job, you know, handling the situation, the structure that has been forced on them, I would say that this dude doesn't want to come out. Now, he wants to keep it nice and loose, and he doesn't want any tension, obviously.
Right.
But he doesn't want to come out, and he probably thinks it's stupid that he has to come out. And he doesn't, and he shouldn't come out. He shouldn't. He should keep him in there. Montgomery should keep him in there.
I think Swayman,
ride it out.
I think Swayman should play game 4.
Absolutely.
No, I'm with you on
it's
that.
It's a I think what the record is, there was something like 28 or 29 like rotations or something like that that they went through. Some record in the NHL.
It's 29 games they've been going back and forth now.
Okay, thank you, Nick. 29 games. I think at any point in time, I think everybody on the team, including Omar, although he'll probably have the biggest issue with it, okay, because he's going to have to fight for playing time now.
Yep.
I mean, listen, the proof is in the pudding. I hate to say like, he's undefeated against these guys, against the Leafs in the last 2 years. He's obviously on a roll. He's playing great. Why would you change it? Why? Just because you promised playing time? Like, stop. Pull the Belichick line and say, I got to do what's best for the team. If you were really to give the players on the team some truth serum, they would all say, stick with Swayman. Don't change it. What do you think?
Well, I think Swayman's got to play game 4, but I don't think one game necessarily means that they should abandon the philosophy. But I think the philosophy has always been pliable to play who you want. And given the way Swayman played last night, I'm with you. I think you leave him in there for game 4, but I don't think it is, well, we're just riding Jeremy Swayman the rest of the way. They don't want to make the declarative statement because they don't want to get backed into the way they did last year. So it's a little more, hey, let's keep it open-ended. We have a plan, but we haven't told anybody what the real plan is going to be, but the goaltenders know. But look, Swayman played great last night, and I thought the Bruins did about a – I mean, that first period I thought was really tight. Second period, you started to get a little more action. And then in the third period, it was almost like the dam broke a little bit where you started to see some scoring. And then there was Marshy, who did what captains do. You tie it up, you turn around, you're on the road, you go get the big-time goal. However, Toronto coach Sheldon Keefe not happy with Marchand because he thinks he's getting away with dirty tricks.
When things like that are happening, it puts more pressure on your offense.
Oh, that is Joe Mazzulla.
Joe Mazzulla.
He gets calls. It's unbelievable, actually, you know, how it goes, you know. We got to play through that. We got to play through that stuff. I don't think there's another player in this series that gets away with taking up Bertuzzi's legs the way that he does. There's not one other player in the series that gets away with that, but he does. You know, it's an art. And he's elite at it.
It's an art. It's an art, and he's elite at it.
He is.
So how about this, Sheldon Keefe?
You got to play through that.
Yes, that's exactly right, Nick.
I'm glad. He's crying.
You got to play through. It is what it is. You know what? Here's the other thing, too. Superstars, and Brad Marchand is one. He is also the captain of the Bruins, which carries some weight within the National Hockey League. Those guys are going to get those kind of calls. Am I wrong on that? It's happened forever in the sport of hockey. And Brad Marchand, to me, is no different than anybody else.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Yeah, draft day, Johnny Manziel. 5 years later, how am I the man still? Draft day, A. Wiggins. That other side, we stay winning. Oh, man, you know I had to do it for you.
We are here in Detroit, and as you can see, we are 9 hours and 28 minutes away from the draft finally beginning, and oh, boy. We had, what is it? We got Cameron Wolf, who apparently got to sit down with Gerard Mayo and sort of talk through things. I guess Mayo gave.
One-on-one.
Yeah, I guess Mayo gave an explanation of the whole bag comment or whatever. Yeah. But, oh, my God, Christian.
What does a bag mean to you?
Even today, seriously, even today, it's more of the, well, one person in the organization is saying one thing, and one person in the organization is saying another. So, again, I don't know if this whole thing is orchestrated. I don't know if they're just such a mess that one person's talking, one person isn't. But it sure as heck seems like Drake May ultimately is going to be the guy. And I know that you're hooking up.
Oh yeah, so boys, look at your text message real quick, Billy. So you guys know.
We're probably gonna have to.
We're calling him.
We're gonna have to call Pioli. However, you said something yesterday that's really interesting. If people are looking at, there isn't a massive difference between Drake May and J.J. McCarthy. Does Josh McNown the new QB coach out there in, and I don't even know if he's the OC because Kevin O'Connell is still there, but the QB coach. So you have McCown.
Who coached him in high school.
You have right, who coached Drake May in high school. Does that guy have the ability to convince the Vikings that they should give up a bunch of picks if there isn't that big a difference between Drake May and, say, J.J. McCarthy? And joining us now, former GM of the Pats and the Kansas City Chiefs. You see him on NFL Network. Friend of the show, our guy Scott Pioli. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, never mind friend of the show. I'm a friend of you guys.
That is true. That is true.
So if that is the case, we would both like an invite to Nantucket.
Oh, dear Lord. I've never been. I'm not allowed.
Pioli, well, we moved. We don't let folk like you and 4A over here, man.
No, that's fine. No, we would, especially since,
totally fine.
I tell you, I'm glad. It was so funny. I don't know if you guys heard, but I was trying to Christian. I was texting you. I couldn't get through on the phone. This is like classic draft day stuff. You're trying to get a hold of a prospect, let him know you're picking him, and the phones aren't working. Little drama we had getting together here this morning, guys. Oh, you still got me.
So the Gremlins got us in Detroit. What are you going to do? We're going to go right back to the phones with Scott Pioli to talk about everything draft. Scott, thanks for hanging on. We appreciate you. And I know I had the long answer and we dropped out, but basically when you were a GM, Scott, how much did you try to use the media to run subterfuge, get what you want, smoke somebody out on a trade? Because I'm betwixt and between on what we're hearing out of Foxborough these days.
Yeah, hang on one second, Gresh. Before we get back to this, you guys are just going to go right past that major fail you just had. I mean, it's draft day and your phones aren't working.
Yeah, you know what?
Oh,
we fumbled
gosh,
the pick.
Trying
you know
to get
what?
A hold of the pick. I mean,
yeah, we got nervous. We're role playing. If we're Elliot Wolf,
we're like the Mike Tice Minnesota Vikings. We missed our pick. Now we got to run it up there.
Hey, that's going to be Elliot's line. He's going to say, "Hey, listen, guys, don't complain about my pick, no matter what it is." Because you can't even get your phones to work on draft day, so yeah. I beat you there. So he's one up on you guys. One, you guys, nothing.
Oh, my God.
Gresh, to go back to your question, you know, first of all, I think you guys know I rarely, in my decade there, I was rarely in the media. I never did any, again, if you go back, things have changed. I Bill was the one that spoke pre-draft. He was the one that spoke post-draft. So I never interacted with the media, you know, on or off the record. So sending signals or information or misinformation out there. My thing is this, you know, when I look at there's different kinds of misinformation, right? You could send a story out there that maybe you guys, or maybe your team's looking to do this but here's the misinformation that I see the most that I really struggle with and squirm with. Is the people, whoever the folks are, and the finger always gets pointed at the teams when there's misinformation about kids out there and the players. I call them kids, but the players. And when people are doing things in order to elevate their prospect or to maneuver or maybe make things fall the way that they want to get a player, or if there's an agent trying to elevate his own player who's putting misinformation out there about a kid who's worked his entire life to get to a certain space and to be drafted, that stuff I have no patience or tolerance for. I think it's one of the most mean-spirited things you can do. And, you know, I've seen people, I've seen whether it's media folks, I've seen agents, and I have seen some people from the clubs beating up a player or leaking, like the C.J. Stroud stuff last year. I mean, totally, totally unnecessary. I understand he ended up in a great place. He ended up where he was supposed to be. But that doesn't always happen when misinformation gets out there. So, you know, my feelings, you concentrate on what your job is. Get the evaluation right. Get the identification right. Do your job the way you're supposed to do it. And there's no need to lie to folks. And again, like if I was talking to you guys before the draft, what purpose would it serve our relationship if I was lying to you, right?
No, I get it, but I'm curious. I'm curious, Scott, because what GM worth anything is going to allow himself to be influenced by something he sees on TV?
Yeah, you know, Christian, this is an incredible question because they shouldn't. And that's why, you know, I want to talk about this topic on NFL Network, and we didn't get the time. But we're looking at this draft, and all of a sudden we're hearing that there's going to be four quarterbacks, all these quarterbacks that have elevated out of nowhere. And part of the reason and the purpose is that they've elevated is that it's all anyone's talking about in the media. Right. And not just in New England. Right. New England's talking about it. The New England media is because there's a need for a quarterback. But the national media, there's so much focus being put on quarterbacks, that there's this avalanche. And we see people fighting and trading to get up to take a quarterback that isn't necessarily one of the best players. And then when you talk to people in the positions that are going to make decisions, they don't understand why these quarterbacks are running up the boards. But the point that I'm making is there's so much – I don't think we give enough credit to the fans as to how intelligent they are about football and how smart they want to be. They want to hear more about quarterbacks. So I think teams, unfortunately, are starting to be influenced. I mean, just go back to – what is it? The 2021 draft. Five quarterbacks taken in the top 15. Now, at the end of the season – the college season that year, I don't think that there were five quarterbacks ranked that high. But five went in the top 15, and four of those five have already been traded. And not one of the players that's been traded has gotten back anything more than a third-day pick.
Now, Scott, is that because they're overdrafted or because the need is so great?
Well, yes, there's a need to get a quarterback. I mean, I totally get it. Yes, it's a need to get a quarterback. But, and again, I'm not saying that the San Francisco 49ers model or our model with Brady is going to happen. That's lightning in a bottle. But you don't have to get a great quarterback at the top of the draft. And yes, you need the quarterback. There's no doubt you need a quarterback to be successful and to sustain success. But to alter your draft board to go out of need versus best player available, to me, doesn't always make sense. And it's which is coming first, the chicken or the egg on this?
Scott Pioli with Gresh and Fourier here on WEEI talking about the NFL draft. First round is tonight. Patriots are sitting at number 3. Scott, I saw a thing the other day on how the amount of picks needed to move up is just so enormous now. What is a bigger factor in trades, in your opinion, at the highest level in the draft? Is it, you know, that whole prohibitive cost of getting up there? But is giving up all those picks worth it? Because contractually, you're not handing a guy $60 million guaranteed anymore at the top of the draft and almost being automatically married to them. Is it the money or the picks that has changed maybe the way people have viewed moving up and down in the first round?
You know, Gresh, I think it's a combination of those two things. And again, usually when you move, if you move up, you're moving up to get a specific player. Again, this one isn't sexy, but when we moved up, you know, many years ago to take Ty Warren, we were moving up to take Ty Warren, right? That was the 2003 draft. We moved up one spot because we wanted to make sure we were going to get the guy. But when you look at what teams are doing and they give up, I just don't like that philosophy because here's the deal. And not many general managers want to say this out loud, not many, or, you know, whatever the job is, whoever's making the picks, you're going to get it wrong more often than you're going to get it right. So if you've only got your 7 picks and you've got 7 swings at bat, it's probably not going to end up well. You need to gather picks, collect picks to get more swings in order to get more hits. That's just the reality of it. Just own and understand that, you know, you're not that smart. You're not that good. You're going to do the best job you can. Hopefully your process will put you in the right place. But when I see teams giving up all that currency to move up, you have to get it right. Because if you don't, it can cripple the organization for years.
And Scott, and that's kind of why I like when we're talking to Scott Pioli And when I see like what's coming out of the Patriots, like this emphasis and this, you know, paraphrasing their own words from Elliott Wolf and Gerard Mayo, how important it is to get this right. I feel like they're putting so much pressure. Like the whole franchise is predicated on this number three pick and them getting it right and choosing the right quarterback. I'm just curious how you feel about their approach and how they've handled it so far.
Yeah, you know, so far listening to them, getting it right, you know, and I think Elliott's doing a good job of being vague there. Getting it right doesn't mean that getting it right is taking the exact specific player at number three if it's a player that, you know, unless it's a player that they really love. So maybe he's saying getting it right is moving back to number five or to number six, still getting a quarterback that they like and getting more picks. We don't know what his, you know, what his description or definition of getting it right is. Is there a lot of pressure up there? Heck yeah. Heck yeah. I mean, in my first year in Kansas City, I had the number three pick overall, and that was, you know, and it's shown to be historically one of the worst drafts ever. And we were comfortable with the person we took and Tyson Jackson, who we thought was going to be a cornerstone for our defense and the defense we're going to run. I mean, the guy ends up being a 10-year starter, but it's not what, you know, a starting defensive lineman that doesn't get sacks isn't necessarily what you're, you know, what you're hoping to get. The problem was we couldn't move out. So in terms of Elliott getting it right and Gerard getting it right, the franchise getting it right, you know, we don't know if that's a certain quarterback or moving back, which, again, I would encourage fans that if Elliott and Gerard and the team decides to move back a little bit because they have a quarterback they think that they can get a little bit later and add currency, I would say, you know, hey, right on. You know, just give them some room to breathe and let them develop the quarterback.
Scott Pioli with us just for a few more minutes here on Gresham Fourier. How did you or do you as a GM balance an owner who is like, oh boy, I maybe have the wheel for the first time here, or I've got the influence and maybe it's oppo of what you're thinking in terms of what you would like to do in the draft. Is that as big a thing as people make it out to be? Do you have to give the owner the stiff arm a little bit or jump up on the table and say, no, we need to do this for this reason?
You know, fortunately, Gresh, I was, you know, even with all the teams that I was ever with, that was never a factor. Even when I was a slappy in Cleveland, you know, for Bill and Cleveland. You know, seriously, Art Modell didn't tell Bill who to draft. When we, you know, from there we went to, you know, we went to Baltimore, and it's a fascinating story. In Baltimore, we got there in '96. I was, you know, Bill had been fired. I was there in '96. And Ozzie didn't even have the title of general manager. There was no general manager. There was no head of player personnel. Ted Marchibroda was the head coach. And even though Ozzie was the final say-so, you know, the owner wanted Ozzie to draft Lawrence Phillips in 96.
Running back out of Nebraska. And,
but exactly right, who, you know, ended up going to jail and hung himself in prison. God rest his soul. I mean, and we knew that there was trouble there. So what we ended up doing with the fourth pick overall that year is exactly what Ozzie wanted, what Ted Marchibroda wanted, what Kirk Ferentz wanted, what Phil Savage wanted, what I wanted, which was to draft Jonathan Ogden. And Art made it clear what he wanted, but said, Ozzie, do what you want to do. And that changed the franchise. And then again, all those years with the decade with the Patriots, Robert never told us what to do. And truthfully, Bill would not have put himself in that role, nor would I have gone up there, or Ernie Adams. The three of us would not have been in those seats if it was going to be done that way. And then Clark Hunt never did it. So, Gresh, I don't know exactly how to answer it other than
I think you did.
You know, if I
you
was,
did. Yeah, I think you did.
If I was in that role, I wouldn't join an organization where I was being told what to do, because then they really didn't need me. I'd be useless.
Yeah. So listen, last one for me before we got to go, Scott, is, okay, you're the GM. You wake up in the morning. It's draft day. Like, what's going through your mind? What's your routine? Like, what's the anticipation like for you on draft day?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, Christian, because it changed so much over my years, right? The draft didn't used to be the thing that went on at prime time. It started you know, in the mornings. It was a two-day thing, and it started in the morning. So it evolved and changed over the years. But I know a lot of GMs and head coach, they play golf. I've never played golf in my life. You know, unless there's windmills and elephants on the course, you know, I'm not playing golf. So I just found a way to relax. I always got a workout in. You know, I would just find a way to try to not think about the enormity of the day and to try to decompress and relax.
So you're not running scenarios through your head. You're not role-playing a situation, trying to get out of the third pick, right? None of that stuff.
No, if you're having to do that stuff this morning, you've lost already. I mean, that was, you know, that was one of the great things I learned in my early years working under Bill in Cleveland was the preparation component and how important it was. And you need to run those scenarios. You need to do all those things. And then you need to be prepared, but you also need to have your mind and soul rested and comfortable so you can work with confidence and work with confidence, but also understand that there's going to be so many things out of your control. And if you start the anxiety early in the morning, you know, emotionally, you're going to be exhausted because you're sitting there at number three, or let's just say you're at number five or six. You may end up picking because of trade somewhere in the late 20s, because that's what you choose to do. And if you've worn yourself out emotionally, again, you're just not going to be prepared for the moment. The preparation needs to be completed long ago.
Well, I would dare say that if there was ever in those days of Scott Pioli getting a pump in before the draft, if there was ever a GM bench press record that needed to be set,
he's going
to
win it.
Pioli was going to set
it.
That
I've
over,
seen him in there.
Over a Spielman, I would say, as well. Scott, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate you, and we love talking to you, and hopefully we see you over the summer. Thank you.
I hope so, too, guys. Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, right, good stuff. Scott. Great stuff there from Pioli.
It was. It's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting that what he said about that Kansas City pick when he had it at three, they basically couldn't sell it.
Yeah.
He didn't want it.
Because it was $60 million guaranteed then.
He didn't want it, but, you know, and they couldn't get out of that number three pick. And I believe that the Patriots don't want that number three pick. They want to move out of it. That's what I believe.
All right, well, let's get into that next with Gresham Fauria from Detroit.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.